This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoe.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Andy Williams. Remember that song? I always think about Andy Williams around this time of the year, and indeed it is. What do we call it, Cyber Monday yet? That's why he played it. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works on this post-Thanksgiving weekend Monday, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November the 27th, and into the Christmas season we go. Lots to talk about today. In a few minutes, Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity is going to be here. We are going to talk about the firing and then the subsequent rehiring of Sam Altman. Have you heard of him? The CEO of OpenAI and what they did to him, and all of a sudden there was a big brouhaha about it, and he's back. It's a move that transfixed the artificial intelligence world, along with Silicon Valley. So stay tuned for that. And a former White House doctor to three presidents says Joe Biden's cognitive decline is rapidly occurring, and we need to be concerned. So we're going to take a look at his findings. Stay tuned for that. And Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren apparently has an epiphany on the effects of Obamacare. At least so says the Wall Street Journal. And we're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you the updated top 10 most popular girls' names for 2023. We're going to give you the top 10 most popular boys' names at the end of our show. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, you got to look good for Christmas, so you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. You'll get the best haircut in the Tampa Bay area for my money. A great haircut, great price. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You got to call for your appointment first. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call 727-733-3773. And if you have any kind of a situation with trees, I recommend ArborLife Tree Service. I have used them. They are great, whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal or stump grinding, whatever. If it has to do with trees, it's ArborLife, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate at 727-330-1999. So, the polls continue to hurt Joe Biden. He must be keeping away from reading anything when it comes to how well he's doing. And November started with the New York Times Siena College poll. It showed Trump ahead in four of six swing states. But more indicators of Biden's peril have followed soon. The president standing in head-to-head matchups with Trump continues to fall. Among the latest surveys this month, from 13 separate pollsters, Biden's position is worse than ever. And while polls suggest most of the movement comes from voters abandoning Biden, who might become undecided but not swing to supporting Trump, Trump has also started to gain steam. Trump's vote share in the national polling average is now higher than at any point in this past year. So NBC's news poll had a stunning result. Trump led Biden among voters younger than 35. Now that is a switch. Trump leads Biden there 46% to 42%. Even though that's within the what they call the margin of error in that kind of a poll, other polls also show a close race with what has become a reliable Democratic constituency, the young voter. Biden has only got a single-digit lead among voters 18 to 34 in most recent polls. I guess this one's called Morning Consult. He's got a seven-point lead in the Fox News poll. These are the 18 to 34 voters. This is Biden. And the Quinnipiac University poll shows Biden with a plus nine. Well, it says here Trump led Biden in all four polls among all voters. Okay. So he still trails on the younger voters, but it's getting closer. There's only a few polls that show Biden with a lead among the young that approaches what he had in 2020. But they are the exception and not the rule. So anyway, as we say, that's not looking good. You know, he just turned 81 years of age.
You know,
last week, so he's getting, you know, maybe he doesn't even follow any of this stuff anymore. I don't know.
I saw on one of our top-notch investigative media outlets over the weekend of what Joe Biden and Dr. Jill did on the weekend after Thanksgiving, that they had their turkey and then they went for a stroll on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And all I could think was, shouldn't they save his strolls for to and from the podium?
Well, maybe he needs the strolls so that he can practice.
Maybe he's practicing in the sand, you know?
Yeah.
Because that toughens up your legs.
Well, not only that, if you fall down on the sand, it's not as bad as falling down on a hard linoleum floor.
Yeah.
You know, it breaks your fall a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are tough all over for him. Another thing that's tough, the word Bidenomics, whatever provoked them to come up with that one, right?
Who else did? He loves it every time he says it.
Oh, I know
it.
He did.
He smiles every time he says it.
But not so much now. A Washington Post reporter said yesterday that Bidenomics has become a negative word in the Democratic Party as Biden struggles to get his economic message across. On NBC News Meet the Press, this was yesterday, the host asked the Washington Post reporter, her name's Lisa Caldwell, about Biden's low marks on the economy. She added that Democrats think he needs to shift away from the Bidenomics messaging.
Well, some that are calling it Bidenomics, the others are calling it Brandonomics.
Either way, it's a negative word, especially among Democrats, because it's not working, she said. Several recent polls, of course, point to bad news for the president, as we said. 78% of voters in a Fox News poll released this month found the economy was in very bad shape, 78%. That's not good if you're running for president. So things are bad all over for the poor guy. Oh, well, that's the way things go, right? We'll see about that. I'm going to talk later about that debate that's coming up between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. Did you know that's coming up?
It's coming up
this week.
Well, it is this week.
Yeah.
30th?
I'll have to tell you when I find the story.
The 30th. It could be the 29th or the 30th.
Yeah, that could be right.
But I definitely will
I'm gonna
have
watch
popcorn.
That one.
I'll have popcorn for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Get your popcorn.
Yep.
Get yourself set. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity is going to be here. We're going to talk about the firing and then the subsequent rehiring of Sam Altman as CEO of OpenAI.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on the Monday after, the weekend after Thanksgiving, and we're delighted that you are with us. Delighted to have back Will Reinhardt. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. We are going to talk with Will about a guy by the name of Sam Altman, who I did not know much about, but he was the chief executive officer of OpenAI, which is apparently a big deal company in artificial intelligence. He was sacked, as they say in England, but there was such a hue and cry from the employees. In fact, virtually all of them said they were going to leave if they didn't rehire him, so they rehired him. Wow. Will, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
This is really an interesting story. Sam Altman, I know this is, you know, to most people, they don't get that excited about it, but apparently OpenAI is quite a company. Can you kind of give us a little background about it?
Yeah. OpenAI is quite the company, basically. The people who started it are kind of the leaders in tech. Elon Musk was one of the original folks on the board, even though he left, I think like maybe 2 years ago. The guy who founded LinkedIn is on it, and there's been big investments, multi-billion dollar investments from Microsoft, because this company is really thought to be the leader in AI development and model development and consumer products. So they're kind of the leading voice, the leading company in the AI revolution that's going on right now.
Yeah, and so Sam Altman, who has been the CEO of the company, apparently, what's his background? Do you know?
Yeah, so Sam comes from a background of venture capital. He's created a couple different companies, right? And he helped to organize a whole bunch of different startups. He's been a leader in the space. He's not somebody that is as well known as, say, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk. But if you're in the tech space, you very much have known and heard about Sam Altman over the years. He's one of the most important people who works in the startup space generally. He's done a whole bunch of important deals. You know, I think he's worth like $500 million. I mean, the guy has been in the space for quite some time, and he's a little younger than me too. So it makes me feel, you know, it's like all these guys doing really, really well out in Silicon Valley. It's like, man, I feel like I'm not doing as well.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The younger they are, you know, in Silicon Valley, if you're past the age of 35, you're kind of an old timer, aren't you?
Oh yeah, unfortunately.
On November the 17th, Altman, who, by the way, co-founded OpenAI, was sacked, as they say. What happened?
So we're still trying to figure that out, but it seems that the products and the lines that he was pushing out, though, he created effectively a new line of Products that would personalize all of these AI tools, right? So for anyone that has been using ChatGPT or has heard of ChatGPT, he was rolling out a version of this that would give companies their own internal ChatGPT. So it allowed them to, you know, effectively access their own information and to keep all of their data offline. And so he was rolling out these sorts of products, and it seems that there was concern by the board and some folks that were, you know, both in the company but also working in concert with the board, that he was moving too fast and that he was being way too aggressive, which is the case, right? The OpenAI has a weird board function, so it is technically a nonprofit, even though it has a profit function within it, right? There's a for-profit company that is technically wholly owned by a non-for-profit company. And it is this kind of weird structure, this weird organizational structure that created problems, but it also allowed for the board to completely get rid of Sam Altman in less than a couple hours.
Was there any one person behind the decision to oust Altman?
So there was a couple folks. There's a guy, there's the chief scientist there named Ilya Sutskever. He's like the chief scientist at OpenAI. He's kind of the guy who's reading or pushing the development of AI. So he's effectively Sam Altman's right-hand man and has done a lot of this. And a couple of the major board members as well. One of them that has been named a couple times is a former board member, Helen Toner, who was on OpenAI's board. It seems that they had gotten together and effectively then pushed Sam Altman out for a whole bunch of different reasons. And the thing that's really kind of odd about all of this is we're still trying to figure out what exactly happened. A lot of people have been pretty tight-lipped about it. The board hasn't really said, you know, the former board members that have since been pushed out haven't really said so much about why they did this, why they tried to take Sam Altman out. And so there are some things that we kind of know, but it's still sort of a trickle, and it's fun because it's still kind of a mystery of why this all happened.
Yeah, yeah, it's really a soap opera. We're talking with Will.
Yeah.
We're talking with Will Reinhardt. He's a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity about the mysterious firing and then rehiring of Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI. So, all of a sudden, nearly all of the employees at OpenAI, they must be very loyal to Altman, threatened to quit if he was not reinstated. I don't know what date that was. They had gotten rid of him on the 17th. And, of course, much of this got played out online, I guess, on Twitter or what was formerly Twitter and a few other places. So a lot of people became, you know, had their ear to the wall, I guess, on this one.
Oh, yeah. No, I was following it incredibly closely and watching what people were saying and following all of the things coming out on, you know, on X, formerly Twitter. So within, as you mentioned, that he was fired or you fired on Friday. And then by the next Monday, something like 700 of the 700, I think it's like 717 or 770, something like that. But 700 of almost 700 employees, oh, right? Almost every single employee of OpenAI said that they would leave if he was not reinstated. And I think this really shows that OpenAI has a bit of a different, again, it's even for Silicon Valley, it's kind of odd. It doesn't have the normal structure, even as companies are developed. There's people, normally when you think of like, you know, a company, you've got directors and associates, but they actually have a much flatter organization. People are called, you know, technical managers or technical staff. So it's meant to be a little bit more equitable. And I think what people really want to do is they really want to work on this very tough problem of getting knowledge embedded into technology. And it's a tough problem that they're trying to deal with. And some of the products are, I think, kind of amazing. Some of them are a little overblown in what they can do, but I think that a lot of people who are working for this company are really dedicated to this cause to do something new and interesting. And it seems that's the reason why they were threatening to leave if Sam was not reinstated,
yeah,
which he eventually was.
Wow. So Microsoft was involved. When they fired him, Microsoft immediately agreed to take Sam Altman on.
Yeah.
What's the relationship between OpenAI and Microsoft?
So this is a bit convoluted, but if you think about it, starting at the very top, there's the board. The board generally controls OpenAI, which is this non-for-profit. And then OpenAI controls a for-profit entity, which I think is called like OpenAI LLC or something along those lines. So it's a bit convoluted, but Microsoft has this relationship with the for-profit entity, and the non-for-profit entity then has, you know, that effectively what Microsoft was trying to do is to have and change over the relationships upstream, right? So what you think of as OpenAI, this company is technically not for profit, nonprofit, and Microsoft was realizing quite literally that all of their big investments, and they've spent billions of dollars on investments in OpenAI, but they've done it through the for profit entity, and they've been supporting the for profit entity, and it is that largely speaking that they've had a long relationship with, but this is something they and other companies have been doing for quite some time. They get in these sorts of relationships, and OpenAI was just unique because of the corporate structure. But I have a feeling that what's going to end up happening is that it's going to get reconstituted. They basically have suggested that they're going to reform and potentially go for a for-profit entity and kind of restructure everything so that this does not happen again. I think the big question with all of that is whether or not you can attract the talent, because at least some of the argument for going to OpenAI was that it had this, that it was a nonprofit, and that it was largely dedicated to, you know, doing better and not being a tech company that is solely based on, you know, profit and loss. So it's going to be interesting in the next month or so to see how things shake out. But you could see some people leave, but mostly I see competition happening from this. I think that this is a real big shakeup in the industry, showing that, you know, the competition is possible, and that these companies really, there's a lot of competition still in the AI space, and that there's a lot that still can happen here.
Yeah. You kind of answered the question I had, was going to ask you about. Well, now they came back, you know, would he resume what he did before? But so there's going to be some of these changes that are going to occur. You know, AI is becoming such an important thing. I was just reading a story earlier today about, we've got a new bomber. I don't know if you know about this.
Yeah.
Scaring the hell out of China. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of AI in it. I mean, I guess we are the leaders when it comes to that kind of thing, right?
Oh, very much so. And the Air Force has been very tight-lipped. The other thing that I've been following really closely is this new advanced fighter that they're also developing at the same time. So they've been very kind of... you know, they've been somewhat open about this bomber you were talking about, the B-21 Spirit, but the one that I've been following really closely is this next generation attack fighter that they've been developing, and they got it done in record time. Something like, I think they got it all, you know, spec'd out in less than a year, and it was because of AI technologies. They're using advanced technologies to design and fly these things in virtual environments, and they apparently are coming very close to a test development. So there's a lot that the military is doing that I think is probably going to be pretty important. And, you know, I think that's obviously something that they should continue working on and developing. But there's also a lot of consumer-grade technological developments that are going on that I also want to see that, you know, we don't shut down. And that's partly what worries me about the OpenAI conversation is that, you know, the folks who wanted to stop OpenAI wanted to slow down the consumer process. They wanted to slow down products. They didn't want these things to go out into the market. And I think that is exactly the wrong way to think about this. We've got productivity problems, and I think this is one of the ways that we can deal with it is by having these new consumer products go out into the market and continue to be what America is, which is a leader in innovation and technology.
So you're kind of glad Sam Altman returned there.
Oh, very much so. I think a lot of people who are... You know, there's a lot of people who are very, very worried about AI, and I get those worries, but I think that what has really happened over the last couple of weeks is that crowd who has been saying, oh, that these AI, that, you know, the robots are coming for you, that, you know, that the Terminators are coming for you, that this big group of people who are really worried about this, You know, they have shown that, you know, it really isn't as big of a worry as they think, right? They kind of pulled the trigger on this one. They made a big deal about these developments, and I think that for better that group has kind of diminished in status. They're you know, I mean, this is very kind of like inside baseball talking about AI issues, but I think that America is having this struggle right now over innovation. I think we're kind of unsure in some regards whether or not we should continue pushing on innovation and tech in the United States, and I'm very much for it. I think that we need to solve our problems, but at the same time we have a lot of good things going for us, and we need to continue and double down on those, you know, on those technologies, on that innovation, on those companies.
Yeah, we need to embrace it rather than fear it. Always a pleasure, Will.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I always learn something when you and I chat, and I thank you so very much, especially after the Thanksgiving holiday, for coming on with us. I look forward to our next discussion.
Of course. Yeah, cheers.
All right, buddy. Will Reinhart, Center for Growth and Opportunity. We're going to take our break. When we come back, a former White House doctor to three of the most recent presidents says Joe Biden's cognitive decline rapidly occurring, and we need to be concerned. We are going to talk about it.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a-bopping and a-singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With us on this Monday. So, do you remember this guy, Ronnie Jackson? That name ring a bell? Well, he's now a Texas congressman, but he was a former White House doctor. He was the physician to both Barack Obama, George Bush, and Donald Trump. Okay? So, you know, he knows a little bit about presidents and health and the like. And he says, valid causes for concern regarding Biden. Now, Biden turned 81 last week. I wonder if he knows he did. Jackson says that this cognitive decline is happening rather quickly. He says, I've taken care of three presidents, so I know firsthand what it takes to be the commander-in-chief and the head of state. It's a grueling job, both mentally and physically, and this man cannot do the job. He's proven to us every single day that he can't do the job. But this is going to get worse. That's not very, doesn't make me feel very confident when you hear something like that.
And I remember when Trump was in office, there was a few that tried to bring up his age. And
yeah, but he had such energy. That fell by the wayside.
There's just no comparison whatsoever.
Oh, no.
And on top of all the other things he does, you know.
So Ronnie Jackson goes on to say, it's just unbelievable how much he's degenerated. We're talking about Biden. Just during his time in office, we cannot afford to have this man in office for the remainder of this term. And then another 4 years after that, he's already putting us at great risk right now. Well, you know, everybody can see that. It doesn't even take Ronnie Jackson to tell us. We can see it with our own eyes that there's something going on that isn't positive with this guy.
You know what else slipped by us? The whole turkey thing. With the pardoning the turkeys and him with the little girl. How creepy was that? The little girl, and he said, how old are you? 17?
Oh,
if I was her dad, I would have yanked her away.
Yeah.
I mean,
He's a scary old guy.
That was just creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy. Oh, boy. Well, so there you go. We got just delighted to have both, I think both of them,
yep.
The brothers Ceresi, our master barber here in Florida, and up in New York. State of New York, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Guys, welcome to Freedom Works. I hope you both had good Thanksgivings.
Very much so. Very good. Thank you.
Oh, good. Terrific. So now that we're starting this new week, and we get this, I don't know that Ronnie Jackson, although he is the physician to three former presidents, I guess he has a little bit of gravitas when it comes to, you know, taking a look at Biden, but he hasn't really examined him. I would like to see Biden take a cognitive test. I think it should be done on TV and
pay-per-view.
And we'll do a pay-per-view, and everybody can bet what the score will be. What do you guys think about something like that?
Huh. 0-0-0-1
Or you know what we could do? Instead of having a debate between Trump and Biden, if those are the two that are running at the end, we'll just do a cognitive test instead of a debate. That might be more interesting. You know,
that'd be a grand slam.
Okay. So let me start with Angelo. Angelo, what do you think this week? By the way, we got to bring this up. I think Ron DeSantis is going to be debating
Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. Are you familiar with that, Angelo?
Yeah.
Let me. I'm trying to find that story here. I know I got it here somewhere. I believe it's towards the end of the week. Oh, here it is.
The 30th.
Okay. What is today? The 27th. So if my math is right,
that is on Thursday.
That'll be Thursday, right? Yeah. Okay. It's going to be on Sean Hannity's show. Ed's already going to get his popcorn. He wants to watch this. What do you think, Angelo? Are you going to be watching this?
I'll watch it, absolutely.
Okay.
I want to see, you know, pretty boy Newsom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, you know, wave his hair like Fonzie. You remember Fonzie on TV?
I certainly do. He can take out his comb and stroke his locks as he's trying to answer questions. How does that sound?
I can see him doing that. You
know? Okay. Andrew, you're going to be watching it?
No question about it.
Okay.
And I think we need to get old Gavin in my barber chair. We'll fix up that DA he's got going
would.
On, man.
He'll walk out of there. He'll walk out of there with a mohawk, for Christ's sakes.
If he was lucky.
If he's lucky. Or would you give him the full Yul Brynner?
You get it all, buddy. I'd leave half his hair on and half his hair off.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So we got a lot going on, of course, right now. The Israeli war continues. We are getting some of those people back, which is good news. Let me ask you guys. Do you feel that the ceasefire, the way it's being handled right now, do you have any thoughts about, you know, this whole situation? It's awfully, awfully complex, needless to say. But
Why is it that Israel has to give up 150 prisoners or hostages, whatever you want to call them? That's what the Hezbollah is calling it. And Israel only can give out 50. They're only going to give back 50.
Well, did you know that one of the reporters asked that question as in, and they were asking some spokesman for the Israelis, why is it that it's 3-1 for, you know, the Palestinians to be returned? Is it because they're not worth as much as Israelis?
I could tell you why.
Why?
Well, the Israelis are going to get their hostages back, and they don't care how many they give back to the Palestinians, because when they get their hostages back, they're going to finish the job over there. Believe me.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. The party's not over yet.
No, it's not.
They're getting 3-1, and that doesn't even include Americans yet. Can you imagine what the price is for American?
Right.
No Americans yet.
I think we got one.
We got one?
We got one.
Oh, the sick girl. The sick, yeah. One of the sick girl.
Okay. I think it might have been, yes. But that's it.
Yeah.
Well, Joe will send him $6 billion for the other three.
Oh, yeah. I know it. You know, that's another thing. I'm going to read this story because this is what, you know, goes to Biden struggling and stumbling. He's offered an apology to Muslim Americans for questioning the Hamas death toll. President Biden reportedly issued an apology to several prominent Muslim American leaders after openly questioning the accuracy of the death toll count from Gaza. During a press conference back in October, Biden openly questioned the number of casualties in Gaza. He said, "I have no notion that the Palestinians are telling the truth about how many people are killed. I'm sure innocents have been killed, and it's a price of waging war." Well, now he says, "I'm sorry, I'm disappointed in myself," how dare I question Hamas? Hey, I would question Hamas. You were right the first time, Joe.
Absolutely.
You know, Paul, who even pays attention to him? Believe me. Yeah, Paul, you know what's getting me?
What?
This morning I'm watching Fox News,
mm-hmm.
and they showed the students in New York rioting in the school for the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what they need to do, Paul?
What?
They need to have an assembly. These administrators are so stupid. Let's have an assembly in these schools, okay, in the high schools, and let's put on the real videos showing them beheading the children, shooting the people. Let's see what they do then.
Exactly.
See how many of them will be able to even stand watching
exactly.
it. But you know what? The administrators are so stupid that they don't have the guts to do that. Because you know what? That would stop it instantly, Paul.
Yeah. The protesters are so brainwashed, they would call them actors.
Right. They would call them actors.
No, they
right,
would. They would. They would call them actors.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want to know, why are they protesting in the streets in New York again? All weekend, they blocked a lot of exits and thoroughfares through Manhattan for a ceasefire. Is there not a ceasefire going on right now?
Yeah.
Then why are they blocking? This is where you break out the water cannons and you clean up the streets.
They almost blocked the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
They tried.
Yeah.
They glued the rear ends to the streets.
I'll tell you something. It seems like my eyes have been open. I didn't realize that were such anti-Semitic feelings in the colleges and universities. But boy, is it rearing its head all of a sudden. So it comes around to why is that? Well, they've been indoctrinated.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
So many of these professors, you know, are indoctrinating these, you know, Jewish people tend to do well. Let's be honest. Jewish people are usually hardworking. I mean, you can't just say that about everybody, but there's always been this bias against Jewish people, always. And I don't know what it is, but people always find a reason to dislike Jewish people.
Well, people that are here illegally from Mexico are hardworking.
That's true, too. I don't blame people. Speaking of that, I don't blame them for trying to get here after, you know, knowing what's going on, but it's wrong. You know, but this thing with the universities and their philosophy towards Jewish and Israeli, what is, do either one of you have a thought about that?
Well, Paul, I think the main book in the colleges today is Mein Kampf, Hitler's book that he wrote. They must use that as their main book in the schools because the anti-Semitism is ridiculous. Here the blacks think they have it bad. They haven't seen nothing compared to what the Jews have, they?
I would just send some of these people that are protesting the treatment that supposedly the Israelis are giving Hamas and the I'd send them over there and say, why don't you live over there in Gaza for about 4 months under Hamas? Why don't
you go
live there for a while?
They should.
Boy, that'll change their thinking real quick.
What about the idiots we got in Congress, huh? That are for the Hamas and all that.
They're nuts. And think about it. These people that live here that are LGBTQXYZ, send them over to Hamas. See how long they exist there.
They'd be throwing them off the top of a building.
Yeah. Don't they understand how they would be treated?
Does that show you the mentality of the American people?
Exactly,
Paul?
Exactly.
Well, they
exactly.
don't have any. Look at the intelligence of the American people, right? You got that guy Morning Joe, right?
Yeah.
On TV saying Trump is going to be executing people, putting people in concentration camps.
Did he really?
To Trump like Hitler.
Yeah. Well,
what the heck are these people smoking?
I don't know.
Wacky tobacky?
It's amazing.
Listen, if they were smoking, they wouldn't even be talking like that, believe me.
My God, you could do a five-hour show on all the things that the media said Trump was going to do that were bad when he got into office, like war, starting wars, and this and that, and this, which never happened.
No.
Never happened.
The opposite.
But by golly, it happened when Biden got into office.
Exactly.
But we don't talk about that.
But, I mean, there's to say that this guy's going out, he's on TV, right? He's saying Trump's going to be executing people. Him and his girlfriend or his wife there, Morning Joe.
Really?
Right?
Well, how does he get away with that one?
Right. I mean, talking like that, and he's going to put people in concentration camps and stuff.
That's
what
ridiculous.
How are these people? I mean, I don't see how he gets away. These people.
All I can say is, look at the world the way it is today without Trump in office.
It's really
look
up.
At what is going on that has nothing to do with us. Don't even focus our borders. Look at what's happening in the world outside of borders and the difference of what it was when there were 4 years of him in office.
Yeah.
Things were going smoothly with North Korea. Putin was in check. China was, he was making China pay their fair share.
Right, I mean, you know.
People respected Trump because they were worried he would do something if they did something wrong.
Let me tell you something. The only president that really did something, I mean, modern times, was Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump.
Yeah, they both had the gravitas or whatever it is, the respect of other people, that they would not kowtow.
Right.
Let me tell you, if our troops were being attacked like they are right now by Iran, if Trump were in office, Iran would have to change its state flag to all white.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he wouldn't put... I don't think he would put up with it either. I really don't. It's really kind of... it's sad, it's scary. I don't know. It's...
But the American people still believe, you know, there's a segment of the American population that believe he would do this stuff. Mm-hmm. You believe it? I mean, listening to these people like Morning Joe and The View and everything else.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Well, the media has been against him ever since he came down the escalator. We know that. And with all of that, you know, no matter how many lies they might tell exaggerations, it does take its toll.
They were against Richard Nixon.
Yes.
They were against Gerald Ford.
Well, they were against Reagan. Sure.
Right. Well, this is the media that really is turning the people really wacky. You know, they say the pen is mightier than the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to realize that the media is owned by woke companies. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Okay, what do you think they're going to do? They're owned by woke companies. They're going to do nothing but talk about woke. What do you do to get these so-called media not being owned by private companies and be owned by the people themselves so you get the real unbiased news?
I want them owned by the free market companies. You know, there used to be a time when the publishers themselves were very conservative. I mean, the owners like the McCormicks of the Chicago Tribune or the Marshall Fields or the Hearsts, or you know, they were more conservative in their thinking. But it slowly started to turn. And I remember that, you know, going back, my dad worked for Time Magazine. He left because they were so liberal. And that's back in the 50s. But there were magazines like Time Magazine. They were always that way. They were always very far left. And, you know, that kind of a philosophy started seeping towards the top. And now even the people at the top of these organizations, like you say, you know, have this woke mentality. I sometimes wonder how woke they really are, how sincere they are, or are they just kowtowing, you know? But
I think there was only one reporter or one newscaster that nobody today can hold a candle to was Walter Cronkite.
Right.
I mean, I think he was the last true person on TV that actually spoke the truth.
That group at that time were very similar. You didn't know what their politics were.
I think Peter Jennings was in that mix, too. I think he was clearly just about the news.
Yes,
but because
more
they,
so.
Because I'll tell you why. I could see when they got frustrated when they were getting reports that were conflicting each other. And they would say, listen, we just want to get it right here. I don't want to hear about this or that. I just want to get it right. And I heard Peter say that many a time.
Exactly. You know, that's the way it used to be. The journalist, they used to be the number one commandment.
Today it's whatever the producer gives you. That's what it is.
Well, you know what you got to remember, too? When Walter Cronkite was doing the news, you had the news for a half hour a day. That was it.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't get quite what we're getting now.
You didn't have 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They got to keep repeating.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
But when President Kennedy was assassinated, he was on 24 hours.
It was. That was different.
That was different.
You could tell.
Same with 9/11.
His voice. Well, the way it is. The country was reeling that day.
Of course it was. Guys, it's always a pleasure to have both of you on like this. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Always appreciate it. Angelo, thanks, buddy. And Andrew, I know we'll be talking later in the week.
You got it, buddy.
Okay,
guys. Going, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, take care now. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little more about that that debate between DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. And Elizabeth Warren has an epiphany on the effects of Obamacare. We'll take a look.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. If you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all the shows are on podcast. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button, and away you go. So to follow up on that DeSantis-Newsom debate, it will be Thursday. I guess 9 to 10. It may be 2 hours, but it'll start at 9 o'clock on Thursday night on Fox News. It'll be taking place, by the way, in Georgia, Alpharetta, Georgia. They're calling it, where did I see that name? The Great Red versus Blue State Debate. Okay, so there you go. Now,
our local fish wrap is calling a Tale of Two Disneys.
Tale of Two Disneys?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because DeSantis is treating Disney badly in Florida, and Gavin.
Yeah, they'll be talking about that issue, right?
Treating them well in California.
Oh, yeah, right. There we go. Okay. By the way, the Wall Street Journal editorial board says Elizabeth Warren, remember her? She ran for president on the Democratic ticket. She's sort of a squeaky
Pocahontas,
wheel.
Pocahontas, right?
That's her. the Indian, supposedly. Anyway, they say she is, quote, at long last acknowledging that Obamacare has increased health care prices. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the real world. Yeah,
welcome to the party.
No kidding. As Warren says, describes it, health insurers have exploited Obamacare with sky-high prescription drug costs and excessive corporate profits. Of course, she's going to go back and blame the free market. It ain't the free market, Elizabeth. It's the government controlling your health care that makes it bad, but she's never going to learn. All right. Real quickly, before we get to the top 10, anything going on? How did our Bucks do in football?
Well, the Bucks have now lost 5 out of 6, and they have one more win than your Bears.
Oh, that's not very
and
good.
And your Bears are on tonight, by
they
the way.
They are on tonight, yes. So they lost, huh?
They lost again, yes.
Who'd they lose to, do you recall?
Indianapolis.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Ah, too bad. All right, it's time for our top 10. And the last time we did the show, which was last week, we gave you the top 10 most popular girls' names updated for 2023. So, Ed, here we go. These are the top 10 updated boys, all right? Number 10, Luca. L-U-C-A, Luca.
Okay. I know a Luca. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. Number 9, Ezra. E-Z-R-A. How do you like that one? That's a biblical.
I'd hate to go to school with that name.
Ezra. Number 8, Leo. Leo.
Yeah, you always got a friend named Leo.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 7. Hey, this is another biblical name, Levi, L-E-V-I.
Mm.
And you say, Levi, all right. Mm. What kind of jeans you wearing, yep, buddy? Mm-hmm. Number 6, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Do you like that name, Lucas?
Yeah, it's an older name.
It's
but,
another. Yeah. It sounds like a lot of these names are coming back from the Bible.
Yes, yeah.
You know? Number 5, this one threw me for a loop. Mateo. M-A-T-E-O. Have you heard that one?
No.
Mateo?
No.
I have
I've heard
neither.
It as a last name, but not a first name.
Yeah. It's a first name.
Hmm.
Surprisingly, number 5. Number 4. Boy, talk about a biblical name. Elijah.
Yeah.
It was one of the big prophets in the Old Testament. Elijah. Number 3. Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Do you remember that the number one most popular girl's name was Olivia?
Yeah.
And Oliver would be the male.
Oliver and Olivia.
Oliver and Olivia. Isn't that interesting that they're both so popular? Mm. Number 2. Now, number 2 was number 1 for the last 4 years. It finally was dethroned. Number 2 is Liam.
L-I-A-M. Really?
Yeah, Liam.
As in Liam Nelson?
Like Liam Neeson. Like Liam Neeson, the
really?
Actor. Yeah, Liam is a very big name.
Wow.
And the last 4 years, up until this time, it was number 1, but it's second right now. Okay. What do you think, Ed?
I'm
going to
go with a biblical name.
It is biblical. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to go with Noah.
You looked.
No, I didn't look.
You didn't?
I never look.
You're
right.
Right.
Oh, good.
You didn't really?
I didn't look, no.
You've never
read
that?
No.
You're amazing. It is Noah.
I figured it.
Wow.
I just thought about it a few minutes ago.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Noah is number 1. I wonder if that's a sign we're all going back towards the Bible.
I don't know.
Interesting, huh? Anyway, thank you so very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Steve Kaffin. It's expected Hamas will release more hostages today, and the push is on to extend a ceasefire in Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
All of the key mediators in the crisis, Qatar, Egypt, and the U.S., are pushing Israel and Hamas to extend the ceasefire after the first part of the deal ends today. Israel is offering to extend the truce by an additional